We're going to call the April 23rd, 2024 meeting of the Ponce Inlet Planning Board to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can we have the clerk call the roll, please?
Mr. Ouimet?
Present.
Mr. Pazuma?
Here.
Mr. Bird?
Present.
Mr. Cannon?
Here.
Mr. Cohen?
Here.
Mr. Rizak?
Here.
Mr. Young, if I don't count, will we do have a formal 5 members?
Okay, thank you. Adoption of agenda. Can I, if there's any, not any questions, can I have a motion and a second, please?
I move that we approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Number four, approval of the meeting minutes. If board members have any additions or corrections, please air them now, please. Not hearing any, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the March 26th meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Report of the staff.
Yes, Chairman. Good morning, Board. The only update I have is, I'm sure you're aware, the Selfish Marina was approved by Town Council last Thursday. That's all I have.
Okay. Does any board members have anything that they would like to talk to the staff about? I have one thing. I almost don't want to bring this up, but there seems to be a lot of activity at this proposed site for this botel, and I just wanted to ask the staff what they are hearing or whether where that stands.
Well, the latest thing is they came in and started dredging, which they had no permits from the town and no permits from DEP, so we shut that down, stop work order, and started a code case. So that's the latest on that. They do have some permits, like they had the permit on the seawall, but they had no permits to be doing the dredging.
So there's a case before the code enforcement board?
If it's, it most likely will be. I'll have to double check with David Hooker and see where we stand.
Okay.
And for the Department of Environmental Protection, that was their permit is the one for the waterfront activity and for the construction of the boat docks out there, but they had not issued a permit for the dredging.
Yeah, my only question is there seemed to be a lot more activity than what appeared to be permitted, so.
Right, that was one of them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The dredging.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other board members have any other questions? We'll move down to hearing of cases. We have none, and I will move down to item 8, business item. Ordinance 2024 XX proposed. I'll let the staff start.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. The item before you this morning is a proposed ordinance. Was drafted in response to concerns about the requirements for calculation of maximum dock square footage was being too onerous on certain property owners. Pursuant to the Land Use Development Code, this board serves as the local planning agency for the town, and the board shall review proposed land development regulations, determine their consistency with the comprehensive plan, and make recommendations to the town council as to whether regulations should be adopted. Following the board's recommendation, council will review the ordinance. If approved on first reading, it will go to second reading for adoption. So some background on this is on March 28th, this board heard variance case 14-2023. The applicant requested to construct a dock totaling 520 square feet together with an access walkway totaling 2,000 square feet for a total of 2,525 square feet. The long access walkway was necessary to cross a large wetland to reach the navigable water from the upland portion of the property. However, the maximum square footage allowed for the subject dock was 700 square feet based on the 70-foot lot width at the mean high water line. And so this is the property that the variance was heard on. If you'll notice, it's the property with the star on it, that yellow line coming down, that's where the mean high water line was on that property. And you can see how long that walkway was to take to get to the open water. And that's why they requested the variance. Everybody see that? Okay. So there was other lots in the area, but they were able to construct those docks without a variance because they were not subject to the limitation enacted in 2012 on the dock square footage calculation. So that's now limiting the current owners from constructing a dock without first obtaining a variance. That was in 2012, that Land Use Development Code Amendment. Regarding the calculation, it's proven to have been problematic for certain property owners with those landward mean high water lines that just shown. There's substantial distance from the navigable waterway. And also, any non-conforming dock replacement must meet this current code. So if you look these existing docks to the south of this, if something was to happen to those, they would be required to come in for a variance if they wanted to rebuild those. So these amendments are proposed to alleviate this burden and are contained in the proposed ordinance by excluding the walkway from the dock size calculation. And so here's the amendments that were proposed. We added the definition of access walkway. I won't get into the read everything off here for you, but if you have any questions, just let me know about these amendments. We also added the definition for a terminal platform. I cleaned up some language about the lot widths, and then at the bottom of this section G, this is where rubber hits the road. Basically, this is the maximum area shall not include the access walkway to the dock terminal platform. So that's being excluded with these new amendments. Also, some cleanup here. The ability to dock boats on adjacent properties is not impaired. We are at all other dimensional standards of this section can be met. The reason that the variance language is proposed to be stricken is because basically a variance should be the last resort. And there's already a large section in the Land Use Development Code that tells you what variances are and what's required of them. Also made mention of the access walkway in Section M. So we reviewed the policies of the comp plan and found the ordinance will maintain consistency with the town's desired vision and direction. And staff recommends the planning board find the proposed ordinance amending the section 3.17 to be consistent with the comprehensive plan and forward it to the town council with a recommendation for approval. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Darren. I will open this up to the board for any questions.
Yeah, would you go back over why the variance language was eliminated? I didn't understand what you said.
Okay. If you look at the way that it was stated before, if someone was to read it that was trying to build a dock, they would look at that and go, oh, well, variance could be really easily gotten if I'm, because they were stating that in this section. So we're trying to avoid saying that variances are easy to get, because obviously they're not. That should be like a last resort. And also you have a whole section that tells you what variances are and what's required for variances.
But earlier in that paragraph, under H, a dock and or related structures allowed if, and 4 goes on to say, lots with waterfront frontage of less than 65 feet may be allowed a dock on a similar or similar structures on a case-by-case basis, provided, and it gives the provisions for obstruction and so forth, and that they get a variance. Why would we eliminate the requirement for a variance for a structure on a substandard lot?
Well, it's not, you're not getting rid of the requirement. The requirement's there no matter what.
I'm sorry?
You're not getting rid of the requirement for a variance. If that was to happen and they came in, we know they have to get a variance, and the variance would be coming before this board. We're just trying to avoid.
But why would, if somebody came in with this in place, mm-hmm. and this seems to me to be giving the staff the right to approve a dock.
That's not the intent of that. If the board was to put variances been granted back in.
I just don't know why. If the language is there, it's essentially underlying the fact that you're dealing with a substandard situation, and you need a variance. So I don't know why we would strike that.
The whole reason it was stricken was so that applicants wouldn't think that that was like an easy thing to do to get that variance. But if the board wants it back in. Staff has no issues with that.
Okay, I guess I don't understand why they would think it was easy if you leave the variance in. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but it should be a last resort.
It should be what?
It should be a last resort option, is to come before the board and have to get a variance.
I think,
okay,
Joe, to me the variance comment really is related to the dimensional standards in this section, not necessarily to that 65-foot. You're reading it as it covers the whole bullet number 4.
I'm just reading it because once you're dealing with a substandard, in other words, 4, where am I at here? H4 introduces a substandard, the case for a substandard lot. In other words, it says now you're dealing with a lot that's specifically less than 65 foot wide, where you wouldn't normally allow a. So I just think it's, to be on the safe side, the variance language is in there. It's not hurting anything. You're going to have to get a variance at some point. Is there a way you could get the lot approved without a variance?
Not by that section, no.
So you do need a – you're going to need – if you fall into that category, you're going to need a variance.
Yes.
And I don't see any reason to take the language out.
Well, my suggestion would be if you do a motion for approval to add that condition, that that's placed back in.
Okay. Well, that's up to the rest of the people. That's my opinion on it.
Any other board members?
I have a couple of items. One is not a huge deal, but under definitions, you added the access walkway definition.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was kind of looking at standards and trying to figure out, well, what are the rules that are going to govern that access walkway? I didn't really see any. But then under the definition, you've got shall not exceed 6 feet in width. And to me, the width is really a standard. It's not a definition. So I would move that 6-foot limitation down into standards.
And move that to another section, you're saying?
Well, to me, it just seems like the limitations around what.
I think you want to limit what the width they can do.
Oh, I do too. But I just think that definition, I don't think that's part of what a definition of an access walkway is. I think that's one of the standards is, hey, the access walkways can be no more than 6 feet wide would be a standard.
You have a suggestion on where in the language to put it?
Yeah, under 3.17.2 standards. That's where you've got the rest of the metrics on, you know.
Okay.
I would just put it there.
If we could add that into the motion.
And then the only other question I had, and see if any board members had thoughts on this, I haven't really thought it through, I don't really have an opinion on it, but since there was a limitation on the overall size of these terminal docks, they're calling them now, inclusive of a walkway, now we've taken the walkway dimensions out of that, so whatever square footage they used up in the walkway before now can be added on to the waterfront dock. And so if we don't update the dock size language, which hasn't been updated, then the docks could be growing now inadvertently because people can build the whole previously allowed square footage into the dock. They used to have to allocate some of that to a walkway, and now they don't. So do we still want the dock, overall dock size to be the same as it used to be, or is that something that should be adjusted based on the walkways coming out of that?
Good question. Dock size now is what, 1,000 square feet? Or it's a function of the width of the lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, ten, yeah.
10
it's,
times
it's
the width
of
the
lot. And yep.
But I guess I just don't know what size of docks have been being built, and were they half the size because they had a walkway, or was that only taken out 10%? I mean, is it, I don't know if it's an issue or not, but I don't want to inadvertently create an issue because somebody builds a giant dock and everybody else says, wait a minute, I couldn't build mine that big.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you as staff, when we analyzed it, we didn't see that that was an issue.
Okay.
You're still held by your lot width. So if you have a 70-foot wide lot, you only have the 700.
Is there a max on the is there a maximum on the square footage? Not to exceed something.
Maximum of 1,000 square feet may be allowed without state and or federal approval unless required by. So it looks like let's see. Max for lot with 200 feet or more. Maximum, I think, as to me, it's really your lot width. If you go over 1,000 square feet, it's you get another 10 square feet for every 10 linear feet, and you don't have that many lots that are that large, really.
For lots width of 100 feet or more. So it's the maximum is 1,000 square foot of dock area.
Right, but if you look below that, and on number one, so maybe added for each additional 10 linear feet greater than 100 linear water frontage along the Halifax River, measure it, excuse me, mean high water line. Example is that 110 linear feet allows up to a 1,010 square foot dock.
So the dock stays is still a function of the width of the lot.
Correct.
And so if you had a guy with a 500-foot waterfront, what would you have there? He could put a 5,000-square-foot dock?
Mm-hmm.
No.
But I don't. You're not going to...
No, I know that. But I'm saying is, where would it go? And I don't know if we have any lots.
But that's good. But deep... You know, DEP is going to limit that as well, too.
I'm sorry?
DEP will limit the size. There's a limitation by
okay.
DEP.
It gets back to your question, John. I don't know if we need to mess with it or not. We don't know off the top of our heads what the widest lot on the river is, do we?
I'm not off the top of my head, no.
Well, that might be a good question for the staff to research just to see what's the potential out there.
Well, hold on. For DEP, it's up to 2,000 square feet is the largest you can go.
DEP will only let 2,000.
Yes.
Okay. Well, still might be a good idea to see what's the potential here, and, you know, just what's the widest lot that we've got, or what are the widest lots? Are we dealing with anything that would allow something in the 2,000 square foot area, or are we just worrying about something that doesn't exist?
I don't think it's a major concern, to be honest. This is really the, when you look at the Halifax River, it's this area that where they were requesting the variances. That's the major area to get over that large wetland for those lots right through there. Hmm.
But this would carry for any lot on the river, whether
What's
it's
that?
In. This would carry for any lot on the river, whether it's in that Daggett Creek mm-hmm. zone or along the riverfront proper.
It would.
So we've got, you know, you got a half a dozen houses or more along peninsula.
Most of them already have docks.
They what?
Most of these already have docks.
Right, but if place. They were, if I guess, if, well.
So if
they're still not going to be that wide. Those lots are not that wide.
They're not.
Okay.
So if they were damaged in a hurricane and they wanted to rebuild, how big could they make it?
Just the width of the lot, depending on the width of the lot.
I think we'll find that a lot of the, even though the, you know, the Hennessy lots, those down in that neck of the woods, those lots at the river are not that wide. Even if they were 150 feet. Not a lot.
Right, that's 1,050 square feet you would get. Yeah.
So I think I'm okay with the language the way it's written now. I just wanted to have the discussion yeah. and make sure that there wasn't
No, that's good. That was a good point.
Just a clarification that we specifically said for lots 100 feet or more. Are there a significant number of lots that are less than that, and do they get can they get approved without state and federal? We seem to be language seems to be a little bit for lots smaller than 100.
No, they're still required. They're still required permitting.
Or it says in G, it says for maximum 100 feet or more, 1,000 foot square foot dock, it implies it doesn't need to get state or federal approval. Lots smaller than 100, are they also can proceed without state and federal approval?
They're still required the general permit from DEP. Well, we could strike that out if you suggest.
You want to be careful there.
Yeah. What language are you talking about striking out?
He's in G under 3.17.2.
What line?
He is at line 51, 53.
53?
Mm-hmm. And which carries over into the next sentence, too.
My question was really just things that we're talking about 100 feet or bigger, but we're not addressing anything smaller than 100 feet. I don't know if there are problems.
If that's a concern, I would suggest striking that without state and federal and or approval out from both of those lines. So that would cover that they're... need that approval.
Any other board members with questions?
I'm going to read that over again.
I have a couple. One thing that that was a little confusing to me is that we seem, on one hand, to say that we're making this change to comply with Florida statute, but then we also say that we're doing this because the existing square footage are too challenging for certain property owners. Is there a Florida statute in play here?
The only Florida statutes are the permitting process. There's nothing that tells us we can't exclude the walkway out of the square footage.
Because I'm looking at the cover sheet to the planning board, and it says to comply with Florida statute on the summary. And I thought there maybe was a change in law that was sort of motivating this.
No, that's, it's nothing to do with Florida statutes. That's just a misprint.
Okay. And the other thing I had was, I remember this case from a little over a year ago, and these square footage requirements date. Am I correct in that they date back to 2012?
Yeah, the amendments, yes.
And other than the case that we had last year, how many times has this been an issue?
Since 2012?
Yeah.
I know.
I'm putting you on a spot here, and I don't mean to do that. I apologize.
I haven't heard of other than this that variance case, but my concern is these other properties that have these existing ones, that if there's another major event, all of them have to come in front of you to get a variance to rebuild.
And has there been anything since the March 2023 case?
I think there is another property owner to the south of here that is looking to build a dock.
Okay. And the other, and I'm just asking these questions so I can get a perspective on this. That's all. The other thing on the the language on the access walkway. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that we were talking a minute ago about a maximum width. Is there not a maximum length? And does that mean that it's totally guided by the MHWL?
The maximum length is when it, once it gets to that open water, that the navigable waterway.
Okay. Because
that's the terminus platform, so that's your maximum that you can have.
Okay. That, and I seem to remember, maybe some of my colleagues can help me with this, but last year when we had this discussion, there was some discussion about how much over time the MHWL has moved. And I don't remember what the answer was. What I kind of do remember is that there really wasn't an answer. So I guess my question is, if that water line is moving upland, these access walkways will get longer and longer in the cases that we're talking about.
Yes, they will. And it's, that's part of the what we're dealing with everything.
Okay. Okay, well, I just wanted to make sure that I was understanding that issue with. Do you have any idea, looking at the lay of the land here, and Ponce Inlet is a pretty compact little area. I mean, conceivably, how many cases are we potentially changing the language for here?
I'm not following your question.
How many properties would this affect if this?
When you look at the aerials of Ponce Inlet, it's mostly this area, because this is the largest wetland to get over. Most of the other, there's a few, but a lot of the other ones, the houses are farther back to towards the shore. And the mean high water line is not as high up as it is because of these wetlands. Mostly this area.
Okay. Are there any, thank you very much. Are there any other board members with questions? I know we have a small audience today, but I'm going to ask if there's any audience members that want to speak to this. Please state your name and address for the record, please.
Karen Ree, 49 Marie Drive. Can you tell me what the street address is to the location with the star?
49, 50, 20. 40, 4520. That's where the new house is going in.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else wishes to speak? I will open this back up to the board for further discussion and a possible motion.
So do we need a motion for this at this point, or we're not approving? Are we approving this, or are we sending it back to you for final
recommending approval with the changes that were brought up? Recommending approval to council with these proposed changes.
Got it.
But just to clarify, we're not obligated to approve this today, are we?
Not obligated, no. But I mean, this is for you to recommend to council for two readings.
I understand that, but I mean, if there are board members that would feel more comfortable seeing the proposed changes before they voted, that would be an option.
It's an option.
I'm not proposing that. I'm just wanting to make sure we're clear on that.
That is an option.
Now, I was confused, Aaron, because in the normal course of events, historically, what we would get, the board would get this, make their comments, staff would go back, incorporate those comments, and bring it for approval.
Okay.
But that's up to the board if they want to do it that way, or they want to approve it with the changes that we're making right now. It's up to...
I think I'm okay with it's pretty minor changes we're making to... Approve it with those caveats.
Upon those changes, making it to the final ordinance.
The only thing I want to say to that, and I think this is, it's sort of echoing what Joe just said, is that I don't want this panel to become something where things are sort of rushed through and without a chance for a full debate. And I know, having served on this panel for 4+ years now, the process in the past, particularly for more complicated issues, has been to flush it out in an initial meeting and then have it come back at the next meeting with proposed changes for then a final vote.
It's a prerogative of the board.
Mike, I would agree with you that in issues that come before this board that clearly have broad impact, we need to kick it back and get the final wording of the ordinance done. I think in situations like this where it seems that we're crafting just some minor language changes and the impact doesn't seem to be great on the town as a whole, I think as long as we approve it with the stated changes, I think we're okay.
And I agree with you, Mark. The only thing I'm coming back to is that 2 months ago, when we had the initial discussion on the Sailfish Marina proposal, there appeared to be a pretty distinct push to have us vote that night. We didn't. We came back at it in March, and then in addition to that, there was a member of the panel, and I think it was Joe Young, that talked about the need to have more breathing room between when we get our packets, particularly on more complicated things. And you know, I sort of agreed with Joe. I wanted to get out of this cycle where we're getting a packet on something fairly. And this is not that, but where we're getting a packet on something that's fairly complicated, and we're literally have 4 or 5 days to review it, and we're expected at that meeting to push it ahead or not. And
that wasn't staff pushing for you guys to approve or not. That was
well, I was You're correct, it wasn't. I was just talking about mood in a room, I guess.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say that, you know, if this panel wants to take more time to look at something, I am certainly in favor of that.
Okay.
But back to this.
Staff doesn't have an issue if you want to continue. That's...
Back to this.
Do you have anything to add, Patty, that you might want to...
Not only the width of the lot, but remember there's also required setbacks, and dock can only go so far, and you mentioned it, into the water, the navigable waterway. So I know there's concern about there being a very large dock out there somewhere, but there are some other parameters that control the size of that dock.
Right.
So that was the only thing I had to add.
Thank you, Patty.
Again, motion from the board.
Well, the two items that we've talked about are the variance language, the width of the dock, moving to standards. Was there anything else?
Did you mention about the in Section G?
State and federal approval.
Striking the width.
State and or federal approval.
State and striking the language on state and federal approval. And section.
Do we understand that language? That language has been in there. That's old language, correct?
Correct.
Well, I would want to look. If you want to strike it, if we're going to vote to strike it, then I'd want to look and see why it is. Why is it in there? Has it been in there? And what's the impact of striking it? And I don't understand. If it's been in there for maybe a lot without state or federal approval, what would prompt us to think state or federal approval was needed? And it doesn't make sense that it's, to me, it doesn't make sense that it's there, and I'm not sure why. I don't understand the impact of striking.
That's stating without state and federal and or federal approval, so that would be more the question, why does it state that?
But that is also limited to just artificially created waterways.
Well, the other, the next line down talks about Halifax River, and so it's the same.
It's in two spots. It's two categories.
Oh, maybe I missed the second one.
Is there a general comment? Is there a conflict? Because in B it says all local, state, federal requirements are met. And then in G, with that language in there, it says you don't need approval for state and federal.
Right. I can understand that being confusing.
But for construction, they will need all local, state, and federal to build a dock and a walkway. Correct?
Well, no. Most likely not federal unless the Army Corps of Engineers is involved, and not, they wouldn't be in a lot of places. So.
For sure, state and local.
Correct.
Is this language simply saying you don't have to go to the state or the feds in connection with the square footage of the dock? Is that basically what it's saying?
Basically, I would, yes. Hmm? I could read it as that as well, too.
Well, I would agree that if you have language in B saying that all local and state federal requirements need to be met, the language in G becomes a little confusing.
And the implication is that if you go over, which we're saying is more likely now that we've taken the access walkway away from the calculation. Supposing I was going to be a landowner going for a 1,200-square-foot dock because my width allowed it, Would I then have to go to the state or the feds? Because we're saying a maximum of 1,000 square feet may be allowed without the federal approvals.
Right.
By implication, is a 1,200 square foot dock require that approval?
Well, they're going to need a DEP permit. But as I read earlier, they permit up to 2,000 square feet. So, no, that wouldn't need the dock size calculation wouldn't need DEP's approval for that.
Well, I don't know if it's more confusing there or not there.
Yeah.
Probably not there, right?
Willing to hear more input from board members on what we want to do here?
Sorry, Mike.
I said I'm willing to hear more input from board members on what we want to do here.
Well, I think we've got to sort through what wording we want with requirement the square footage, whether, you know, what is the staff proposing that we do? There's no proposal here for change, correct? We've brought this up, but you did not propose a change. We've proposed the elimination of that.
Right.
And I guess that would reduce the confusion. And the question is, would it reduce or open up the opportunity for somebody to inadvertently violate a state or federal law because I don't think it would because we've taken that out. We still say somewhere that you have to comply with all state and federal regulations, correct?
Yes.
Yes, B1, I think.
So, what was it, D1?
B1, I think.
At the top of the page, Joe.
Right. So that seems to be all-encompassing.
Yeah, here, right, yeah.
So then
we want to eliminate that. Is that what we're saying?
Well, that is the question, if you want to eliminate the language in line 53. And would it be 54 and 55?
53 and 55, right. Yep.
Right. I got 53 and 55, yeah.
Without state or federal approval.
So it would be the language that speaks to state and federal approval in lines 53, 54, and 55.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Correct. Yes.
All right.
We can, as staff, go back and look at that and see what changes we need to make or make the board feel more comfortable.
Does the board have a feeling about this?
Well, I'd like to see what it's going to look like before you send it to the council after they take that out, just so that we understand that there's not a misprint or something going on, that's all. Unless we say subject and we can that be cranked out and let the chairman look at it?
Oh, yeah.
In draft form?
Right, before the agenda comes out.
We can assure that what we're telling you to do here is in fact done. Because if we approve it here today on the basis of whatever the motion says, mm-hmm. then it goes, we don't see it again.
Right.
And that's, I just feel that pretty much seeing the finished product is pretty important.
Okay.
You know, I think, too, on the whole entirety of the paragraph G, it needs to be internally consistent because the first sentence in there just deals with plots that are less than 70 square feet wide. Mm-hmm. And so then at the end of that sentence, we're done with those lots. But then beyond that, we move over and we've now added this for lot widths 100 feet or more. Then it's saying you can do these things and you can get your dock approved without federal and state approval. But we haven't said that for the ones under 70 feet. And so I don't think there's a distinction in how these things get approved between under 70 feet and 100 feet or more. And so I don't think our language should be treating them differently. So this language needs to be internally consistent. Either we're going to say they can do something without federal state approval, or we're not, but it shouldn't apply to one class and not the other class.
I agree.
It
should
apply to everybody.
I think G needs to be entirely reworked.
Yes. Yeah. Too many changes.
Because it's legacy language, but what's the purpose of it, and what is it really supposed to be saying?
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand what the deal was with that. Well, do you want to send it back?
Do we need a motion to send it back?
Well, I don't know. Do we need a motion to instruct staff to exclude? Okay. Then I make a motion that...
And to rework that whole paragraph.
Well, I'll make a motion that in connection with...
I just have something to say. It's actually line 53 to 56 because the sentence ends on line 56.
Okay.
Or if you're proposing to rewrite the whole section.
Yeah, most likely that's going to be broke down into different sections.
All right, then I make a motion.
Or different paragraphs.
With regard to ordinance 2024-XX, amending the code of ordinances, section 3.17, docks, boathouses, boat slips, and piers, be returned to staff for re-inclusion of the variance language, moving the width from
definitions.
Wherever it was,
definitions.
From definitions to standards, and reworking within section 3.17.2 standards, item G, paragraph G, will be reworked in its entirety to eliminate mention of federal and state law for purposes of clarity. Does that sum up what we're talking about?
To the next planning board meeting.
To the next regularly scheduled board meeting.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item 9, public participation. Do we have anything? Anyone? Item 10, board discussion. Board members, do we have anything?
I just have a minor thing, and that is regarding scheduling of these meetings. I mean, we don't know whether or not we're meeting in the mornings or afternoons until about 2 weeks beforehand. Is it possible to have these meetings, the ones typically scheduled in the morning, set to the afternoon? I understand an issue is probably staff having to come. We want to limit the time that staff has to report after hours. But from a personal perspective, it's good to just say I can block the afternoon for planning board versus having it. Is it going to be in the morning? Is it going to be in the afternoon? And if we could have it, later in the afternoon, it would just, for me personally, it would be more convenient.
We would have to check your bylaws. Just double check those to see exactly what it states.
Would anything like that, what kind of burdens would that put on you folks other than possibly staying past closing?
Well, you could essentially have three meetings start in the evening in a week or sometimes, but...
Fun.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
What are the bylaws I did?
Regular meetings shall be Tuesday of the month. Board meetings shall generally begin at 10 a.m. However, meetings shall begin at 5:30 if the meeting agenda includes one or more quasi-judicial hearings. The planning and development director directs as such. Or a simple majority of all members determines that a 5:30 meeting time better suits the public interest due to anticipated agenda items. The time and place may be changed by affirmative vote of a simple majority of all members, at least 24 hours notice of the time and place. place shall be given by the secretary to each member of the planning board.
So, with the one with the majority of the board, the way I hear that is that I think you have to be aware of what the agenda item is going to be before you can say that you want to do the evening meeting. Was that, did you understand it that way?
My understanding is that's at 10 a.m. And
right,
the way
that
it was explained to me as if it's a public hearing,
quasi-judicial.
Something the public holds extra interest in, then.
And then, correct. Or if a simple majority of all members determines that a 5:30 p.m. meeting time better suits the public interest due to anticipated agenda items. So.
Yeah, I just maybe I'm this just came to my mind where you're asking us to approve something such as this today. Isn't that supposed to be a 5:30 meeting?
No, it's not a quasi-judicial.
It's only quasi-judicial?
One or more quasi-judicial hearings, unless the planning and development director directs as such, or if a simple majority of all members determines that a 5:30 p.m. meeting time better suits the public interest due to anticipated agenda items.
Well, it would seem that if I'm understanding that language correctly, the board would have an option to have all meetings be at 5:30.
Anticipated agenda items. So the way I read that is that we have to be aware of what those agenda items are, that so you guys can do a simple majority to say what those, if you want to do a 5:30 meeting or a 10 a.m.
Charlie?
Do you have a calendar where you could put out, like, for 6 months so that we know that
no.
This is quasi-judicial or not, and then we know exactly
no, you can't how do
well,
that.
We're not going to know what comes up that's going to be quasi 6 months out. That may be quasi-judicial.
Don't you have a deadline, like 30 days, that you have to address certain applications?
Yes.
So, yeah, you're not going to be able to put anything on a schedule of that far out.
Do?
Well, it doesn't have to be 6 months out.
We do it like you send out a thing that does like 2 months in advance.
Yeah, like what I give to the council.
Yes, yeah. The times that it's supposed to go to the all boards, including council. That's done like.
I've never saved anything.
No, it's an internal thing. Goes to council.
But I can provide it to the planning board.
Well, that would help us plan.
That would be helpful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess for Mark's.
It has all the meetings on it.
For Mark's purposes, I mean, if you got us information sooner, because right now we don't know until we get the packet emailed to us, right?
Yeah. Right. You have to understand that staff a lot of times does not get the information from these applicants. And until, you know, crunch time, and then there's other items that we're working on. I mean, there's.
Yeah, but there's a there's a way.
You get the agenda a week ahead. I understand what you're saying, like a sailfish marina. I don't know how often you're going to see something like that, though. But
too, what are the public notice requirements? Because a lot of times in this quasi-judicial, you've got to post signs and things like that. So when those get posted, you can certainly notify us, hey, it's at 5:30 this month. Well, right now, we're still not seeing that. I mean, I find those a lot of times because I see the posting just as I'm out and about or in town. You know, I haven't gotten notified for the board purposes.
And the other thing that to follow up on what Mark was saying earlier, we've asked a couple of times about getting these packages ahead of 5 or 6 days before the meeting. Is there a prospect of that occurring?
I'll have to check with. The clerk, they have a lot of work to do, too.
A lot of times, I don't get the information to go into the packet. Mm-hmm. It might be 5 o'clock the day that the packet goes out. I might be getting them out that day.
What information are you looking for?
Whatever's included.
It could be anything.
I get the information from staff and assemble it, but it may be something that might come from a consultant, maybe something from the county. They don't respond like staff does.
Correct.
If you tell them, I need this at such and such date, they will wait to such and such date. And I always tell them way ahead of time. It's difficult getting it from outside sources. It's not our staff.
What is the time frame for a posting for a quasi-judicial meeting?
It's usually 10 days.
10 days.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't help us. It's better than what we got, but...
When you post that, don't you have all the information you need at that point?
Maybe not for an agenda. We've got what you need for a posting, but maybe not for the whole agenda.
Yeah, but at least we'll know whether it's quasi-judicial or not.
Correct. If it gets posted, yes.
And most of the quasi-judicials are at 5:30.
Yes. They have to be at 5:30.
Yes.
They have to be 5:30.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm being selfish here, but, you know, if I could block out, let's say, 3 o'clock, you know, to 7 o'clock or whatever for planning board meetings every month, that just makes life easier.
I think you're looking at trying to change the bylaws.
Right. And that requires going to the council?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I'm happy to do that. But I ask other members whether or not it would be more convenient to be able to know every month that, let's say, this meeting, quasi-judicial meetings occur at 3 o'clock and quasi-judicial meetings are going to be at 5:30 or whatever.
I think that can be done by a vote, can it not?
That's going to be approved by council.
In other words, we could vote if we get a...
Well, might as well do 2 p.m. then.
I'm sorry?
Might as well be 2 p.m. and then 5:30 p.m. I mean, it's up in the air, the times. I mean, you could do a consensus.
I was talking about the consensus
of what times you would like to change it to, but it's up to the town council that wants to change it or how to change it.
So you're saying we can't vote to have a non...
It's not an agenda item. It needs to be an agenda item for you to vote on.
Okay. I understand that. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking for the mechanics of it. If it were an agenda item, we could then vote for it.
Correct.
Okay. So.
But we already closed the agenda for today.
We did. Well, yeah.
Right.
We're trying to... put something out in the future,
right.
I think.
Okay.
But I'm still not sure that we've gotten an answer. Today's item was not terribly challenging, but we've had packages in the past where they were to try and get it done in 7 days or whatever it turns out to be, 6 days, is somewhat unreasonable. And you're saying that there's basically no way you can do much to...
I'm just telling you that we have issues right now getting it to that point from applicants. We're trying our best to get it to you guys by that.
All right, so there's no way of stopping it at that point.
There's something in the bylaws about when they get their agendas.
What happens if it was on a time delay? We got the package and it didn't have to be this month. It would be next month.
So what you're saying is there's really no... way that you can see of getting something, and I think Mr. Young said 2 weeks in advance.
I'm not saying there's no way. I'm just concerned. I've been doing this a long time, and I know applicants are hard to get a hold of sometimes, and it's hard to get with them about who they need to bring to a meeting. And what all they need to put so we can get it in the agenda.
But
I'm not saying it's impossible, no. But what I'm saying is I understand what you're talking about with Selfish Marina, but are you telling me you needed this item today, 2 weeks ago?
I'm sorry?
Did you need the item that's on this agenda today, 2 weeks in advance?
Did I see which item? Today's item?
This item.
I don't recall.
No. Would you have needed it 2 weeks ago?
It would have been nice to have it.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
To read through that?
Well, this item is probably not the best example. I guess what we're saying is you're saying we're talking in something in the neighborhood of difficult to maybe...
I'm not saying it's impossible.
Somewhere approaching that. However, it sounds like we've got a process that we don't know how to slow down or stretch out so that it's
workable.
You know,
but when it gets to us,
you know,
we can look at it and say,